Thank you. We have time for just a couple of questions. Two ground rules. One you hear at many meetings that I will enforce. Question, please, not a statement. Preferably a brief one. Number two, Michael and I think Taisha have microphones. You need to go to where the microphone is to ask your question so that you are captured on the video we will record for posterity with one expletive deleted. And so, yes, right there, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the famous philosopher Mencken once said, no one ever lost money underestimating the intelligence of the American public. Since the electorate now, by registration, as you know, is even more skewed in one direction than it was 10 years ago, what is the likelihood that this is going to go along party lines and not be defeated?
Who would like to answer that?
I'm not sure that this really is I mean, to some extent there's an ideological dimension to this issue, but I think what's interesting too is if you look at fiscal experts across the board, they're pretty much united in saying that this is not a good thing. And likewise, editorial support across newspapers has been against it. So I think there's a good government angle here for those who really know the fiscal end of things that says, this is bad. I think the question is whether we can overcome the power that the legislature is going to bring to this issue and who may ever join with them as they push this to say, look, we fixed something for once.
Just to underline what Diana said, I don't see a party dimension to this. I don't see that that's the way people are lining up. So I frankly don't have any idea how it's going to break. But if the voting public sees a lot of people complaining about an amendment or a proposition, typically they turn it down. These things are hard to understand. People are usually dubious about them in any event, most dubious, of course, if it's debt, but equally dubious about these kinds of things. And I think we have a good chance of defeating it.
Next question. Michael, can you, over there in the corner there? I'm sorry.
Besides the state legislators and the government unions, what are the two or three largest organizations or groups that would be supporting this?
I'm not sure in terms of largest. One interesting thing that's happened, and I think it's unfortunate, is some of the major non-fiscal good government groups are in favor of it. The League of Women Voters, NYPIRG, and Common Cause just put out a piece in favor of it. And, you know, I puzzled a little about that. I think it was an exciting process that led to this thing emerging. For the first time, we had conference committees and real debate, and there was a kind of an optimism at the time this thing came together, and those groups very quickly endorsed it without, I think, reading the fine print as carefully as I wish they had. So you've got a little bit of a good government patina in favor of it. The Citizens Union, based here in New York City, however, just came out against it.
One more. Yes. Yes. Steve Savas. I'm sorry. We'll go one more after that. Okay.
Let me direct a question to my academic colleague at Baruch College, Dal Forsyth. I thought that you intimated, God forbid this passes, but I thought you intimated that some other states have systems vaguely like the one that's proposed here. And if that's so, how's it work there?
There are a couple of states that where the governor doesn't even have the power to propose a budget. There are states like Texas and Florida that have where legislative budgeting is the norm, and where some committee or another proposes the budget. And there's a whole range of distributions of executive power. I don't know that there's any particular correlation between the criteria I described as a good budget, that is to say budget balance, and the executive powers. I just know that in New York it would be much worse if it was legislative budgeting. I don't know that you can generalize. There are so many different political cultures and other variables around in the different states. But in New York it would be much worse. I know that.
One question? One more question. And then we'll...
I'm somewhat concerned about the campaign itself to defeat this initiative. That is to say, what kind of money is being put together for radio, television advertising, a web-based program, and so on? We have some fairly powerful people on the other side, that is the legislation itself. So what are we going to be doing to defeat this?
I will answer that question with an open invitation. If anybody is here who has an answer to that question, will they please stand outside the room and wave a sign? I'm a little unsure of how much further I can go in answering that, because you're looking at a collection of nonpartisan, nonprofit research institutions, and I'm not even certain of the aspects of state election law that cover proposals like this. So rare are they. I believe that there are possibilities, however, but Doctor.
What I'm sort of hoping, and this may be, I shouldn't hope, I guess people should actually organize instead of hoping, but what I'm sort of hoping is that that Governor Pataki and the Attorney General, who also opposes this, will figure out that they actually have to put together a campaign, that the existing governor, who will have an even worse time under this new system, and the man who hopes to be governor, will come together and not just speak out against it, begin to organize some sort of active opposition. That I think could be very effective.
I think we will close it up. We respect you and your time very much. We're very pleased to have you here, and so thank you very much.
Yeah. Good.